Western civilization, infant baptism, transgenderism, a legal case for the resurrection, the First Amendment, revisionist history. Your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Dallas Page, Fort Worth Knights.
The left is saying stare decisis, stare decisis, stare decisis when it comes to abortion. And that reason is that the language of Roe cannot be sustained by the Constitution of the United States.
If we would just take a pen and underline every time he mentions the father, Jesus makes it crystal clear that we don't have a vote in this matter.
The reason to be a Lutheran, marry a Lutheran, stay a Lutheran, is so that I am always receiving this grace in a church that's preaching it in Christ crucified for me.
Pastors, thankful for the last 10 years of Issues, Etc., give thanks to God. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
It's a powerful visual symbol hoisted by politicians and would-be politicians, lawmakers and would-be lawmakers. We've seen it since the announcement of Anthony Kennedy's retirement from the U.S. Supreme Court. It is the coat hanger. Now, if the myths about the coat hanger had any truth in fact, maybe they do. If they did, they certainly have become, well, kind of the truth of the pro-choice movement. Now, it's still a symbol. No one seriously thinks we're going back to coat hanger conditions post Roe v. Wade, but there is certainly power in the symbol. Of course, everyone knows that the technology has advanced, and it's advanced to the point where abortion can be had, as The Atlantic recently suggested, through the mail. Illegal abortion will mean abortion by mail. What to expect when you're expecting your abortifacient pill delivery, by Olga Kazan. We're going to be talking about that story and about the post-Roe situation with regard to abortifacients, so-called abortion pills, RU486, etc., here in the first few minutes of Issues, Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking with Dr. Donna Harrison, Executive Director of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Then Dr. Alfonso Espinosa joins us for our continuing conversation on the dualities of Scripture. Today we'll talk about the Christian's identity. He's author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July, Faith That Sees Through the Culture. Terry Mattingly will be our guest in the second hour of the program. Wonder what happens when a pastor walks into his office and he sees a note from the church secretary saying that a reporter called. Maybe his first inclination is to say, I'll take a while to answer that. Maybe I won't answer that call at all. Terry answers the question, should religious leaders risk talking to reporters? What is the exact nature of the so-called bias against religion in journalism? He'll explain some of that in hour two of Issues, Etc. Feel free to join us with questions or comments, or call in number 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about abortion pills and the abortion industry post-Roe, Dr. Donna Harrison, board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist and executive director of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Dr. Harrison, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Post-Roe, if it does happen, do you expect a higher volume of inquiries about abortifacient pills?
Well, that is the push that the abortion industry is already starting, because they see Mifeprex, RU486, the abortion pill, as the answer to any legislation, because their target is to make women abort themselves. And they know that there aren't laws against women aborting themselves. But the thing that they're not being honest about is how dangerous these abortion drugs really are. I mean, even under the best of circumstances, there's a huge study in Finland where the medical record is owned by the state, looking at 42,000 abortion patients. One out of five of those women ended up in the ER for complications from their abortion. So hemorrhaging, tissue left inside, pregnancy is now exposed to misoprostol, which is the second drug, which actually does cause birth defects in babies. And these kinds of issues are not being talked about, and that's only in women who were less than 63 days pregnant. So the online access to abortion drugs is going to cause a lot of women to be hurt and even killed. There's 19 women that we know of so far that have died from using the abortion pill. That's healthy women who otherwise would have been alive or dead because they took the abortion pill. And the abortion industry just wants to make this seem like pop a pill and poof, it's all over. It's not like that at all. If you look at the stories online of women who have taken the abortion pill, it's horrific. And this is what the abortion industry isn't talking about. It's all a marketing scheme. It's about making money from desperate situations from women. And it's really kind of obscene that they don't care about the women and how they're going to be hurt by this drug, not to mention their children that are going to be killed.
So in the case of RU486, it's a combination of two drugs, and you've mentioned both of them already, but tell us about these drugs, why they were originally developed, and how they got into the hands, essentially over-the-counter situations that we face today.
Okay. So there's two drugs. The first drug is a drug called RU46. It's RU because it was Rousseau-Uclof, the drug company that developed the drug. So it's RU46. It's also called Mifeprex, and the generic name is mifepristone. And that's a drug that blocks a very important hormone in women. That important natural hormone is natural progesterone. So women make progesterone in order to be able to carry the baby. And RU486 blocks that hormone. The important thing to remember about that is that if a woman takes the first drug and she changes her mind, and some women do, they regret taking the abortion drug, RU486. If they can get hold of natural progesterone soon enough, they can reverse the effects of RU486. They can save their baby. There's a whole network called the Abortion Pill Reversal Network. And if you just Google abortion pill reversal, you'll get in contact with that network. If you take that first drug and you regret it, call the Abortion Pill Reversal Network and they can get you natural progesterone. Natural progesterone is used in multiple different situations to treat women who have had in vitro fertilization in order to allow them to continue their pregnancy. It's used in some women who have a deficiency of progesterone. But in this case, progesterone, natural progesterone, is life-saving because it can reverse the effects of that first drug, RU46, Mifeprex. So Mifeprex can kill the baby, and it does by blocking progesterone, but Mifeprex usually doesn't cause the uterus to squeeze the baby out. So a second drug is needed, and that drug is misoprostol, also called Cytotec. And that drug causes the uterus to contract and to squeeze the baby out. And so those two drugs together are known as the Mifeprex regimen or the abortion pill regimen. And there, like I said, the most important thing to remember is that there is time. If you've taken Mifeprex and you regret it, then get a hold of abortionpillreversal.com and you can find someone who can help you. So that's how the drugs work. But what isn't talked about is that those drugs are less and less effective the further on the pregnancy goes. So the FDA only approved it for 3 weeks after missing a woman's period, because during that time, that's when it's the most effective and the least dangerous. But as the woman goes on and on in her pregnancy, it becomes more and more dangerous because it's the mifepristone, the Mifeprex, is less and less effective at killing the baby. So you end up with women who have hemorrhaging, women who have tissue left inside. And the other thing that has killed a number of women is the fact that both Mifeprex and misoprostol, the Cytotec, both of them suppress a woman's immune system. So the women who have died from overwhelming infection have died because of this immune suppression that comes from the drugs themselves. The hemorrhaging also happens even if a woman doesn't have tissue left inside, because the Mifeprex changes the way the lining of the uterus responds to delivery, and so the lining doesn't clamp down and the blood vessels continue to bleed. And women have had massive hemorrhages, and this was happened in Iowa with the very first trials with Mifeprex. So these kinds of dangers aren't talked about, and neither is it talked about that these drugs have not been tested in girls who are younger than 18, and yet they're being given to girls who are younger than 18 at abortion clinics. And if these drugs are given online, women won't know how far along they are. There was one study that looked at how many women could accurately tell to within a week of their last menstrual period whether they could tell how far pregnant they were. Less than half of the women could tell within a week of how far pregnant they were. And yet every week that passes increases a woman's risk. So it's really extremely irresponsible for the abortion industry to push this. But again, the bottom line for them is money, and they will push online access to abortion pills because the bottom line for them is money.
I want to come back to the online access in a moment. Am I right that at least in part of the process, the FDA process for RU486, it was essentially fast-tracked, a special kind of protocol for drugs they thought needed to get to the market faster?
Yes, this is a very interesting issue. I filed a citizen petition on behalf of the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs looking at the whole approval process, and it was completely abnormal. President Clinton basically directed Roussel Ukloff to bring RU486 to the United States, and Clinton directed the FDA to approve it. And this, what people don't understand is the FDA is an administrative agency. So for the president to say, you will approve this drug, basically puts the onus on the FDA to approve it. The one thing the FDA did was to approve it under this subpart H. Now, yes, it was fast-tracked, but subpart H of the fast-track is the only way that the FDA had at that time to even try to put on some post-marketing restrictions. And what that means is that once the FDA approves it, if a drug is a subpart H drug, then the FDA can say, you can only use this drug under certain circumstances. And that's what the FDA tried to do. So there was a few people with a shred of integrity at the FDA at the time. And it's a good thing that it was approved under subpart H if they had to follow the command of Clinton to approve it. So what that did was that allowed the FDA to say, you can't use this in women who are more than 3 weeks past their missed period, because after that, the complication rate goes up. And you can't use it under circumstances where you haven't checked to see if a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, because the symptoms of an RU486 abortion and the symptoms of an ectopic pregnancy rupturing are the same. So some women have died because they thought they were having an RU486 abortion when in fact they were hemorrhaging inside because of the ruptured ectopic pregnancy. So the FDA tried to put these restrictions on, and they were put on, but then in 2016, the Obama FDA completely relaxed all of those restrictions, so that the abortion drug could be used up to 70 days, even though there was minimal scientific evidence about the effectiveness of that. They allowed the manufacturer to no longer report complications, whereas before that, the manufacturer was supposed to report complications. Now the manufacturer doesn't have to report anything but deaths. And even those are not reported in an accurate fashion because there's no way to track these deaths. So the current FDA labeling restrictions are pretty minimal, and they gave the abortion industry everything that they wanted. And that is, it's a real disservice to women. It just really shows that the FDA was not doing their job when it came to regulating this dangerous drug.
Added to that, if I'm not mistaken, these drugs are generally self-administered, aren't they?
Well, they're not supposed to be. The FDA allowed for a doctor to administer the drug to the woman at the clinic and then required her to come in a second time. This was the first restrictions. They had her come in the second time because some women will abort just with the Mifeprex, and they don't need to be exposed to the dangerous drug misoprostol. So if they haven't aborted, then the doctor was to give the woman the misoprostol under direct supervision. And the reason that's important is because anybody can use these drugs. A pimp can use these drugs to manage his herd. A disgruntled boyfriend can use these drugs to mix it in his girlfriend's smoothie to make her abort. There's no saying who will get the drug if you don't watch this drug be administered. So that was the point. The point is, this is a dangerous drug, and the point is, they didn't want other people causing women who have not given consent to abort, which the potential for abuse is tremendous. In fact, in one of the websites that sells online RU46, they give a discount for bulk orders. Now, who is going to bulk order RU46 except someone like a pimp who is in sex trafficking? Who else would order bulk order RU46? So it's to try to prevent this kind of abuse that the FDA put on the restrictions that it originally had. Although, in my opinion, the drug should never have been approved in the first place.
When my wife or my daughter try to order contact lenses online, there's usually a lot of paperwork and proof of a prescription and things like that. It's difficult to do, and that's something they need on a daily basis to see. Yeah. How easy is it for these abortifacients to be had online?
It's easy. It's easy. You don't need a doctor's prescription, and in fact, you need minimal contact with a healthcare provider, which is scary in and of itself, because the women who are in the most abusive situations are the ones who are going to be isolated from contact with a healthcare provider who could help them, like women being sex trafficked or minors being abused.
So how do you foresee the post-Roe landscape when it comes to these abortifacient drugs? What are your concerns there?
Well, my concern is illustrated very much in the article that you referred to by Olga Kazan. The abortion industry is going to market this abortion drug as easy, no problems, and women are going to be hurt, and they're going to die. And women who don't have easy access to medical care are going to be the ones who suffer the most. So women in rural areas, women who are in medically underserved areas, they're the ones who are going to bleed to death in the ER. Or not even make it to the ER. And I'm very concerned that these children of these women are going to die, but I'm mostly concerned about the potential for abuse of RU46 and the fact that women who are in most need of medical care are the ones that are going to suffer the most.
In your time as a physician and your time watching these drugs through their development, through their approval, through their proliferation, and now through their promotion by the abortion industry, since the reporting is no longer, manufacturer reporting is no longer required at all, I'm just wondering, is there any mechanism that could say, wait a minute, the ER has reported these abortion-inducing drugs have caused these various complications, even deaths, maybe we should take a second look at them?
Yes, and I think if doctors would report what they see in the ER, because our members are seeing complications from Mifeprex abortions already, and you know, we'll hear from different members who have taken care of women who've come in hemorrhaging. If all of those doctors who see the complications from abortions would report them, and if the patients themselves, if the women themselves would contact the FDA via the FDA MedWatch reporting system, there's no law against reporting a complication. It's just they're not required to be reported by the manufacturer. But the women themselves can report to the FDA, hey, look, I took this drug. It was terrible. This is what happened to me. And you can do that via the MedWatch reporting system. So it's MedWatch. So FDA MedWatch reporting system. And you can report a complication that happens to you. And the FDA has to look at it. So I would just encourage women that are listening, or if you know of friends who have taken the drug and had a bad complication from it, that you would use that online reporting system. You, as a friend, can report the complication. You can say, hey, Mary Smith had this drug at this time, and this is what happened, and I'm the one that drove her to the ER. You can give that information to the FDA, and the FDA must look at it. They must read it. So I would just encourage anyone who knows of a woman who's had a horrible experience with RU46, report that to the FDA, because the more information the FDA has to work on, the more that they can take a second look and say, wow, this is a really bad idea. We need to put some restrictions on this drug or remove it from the market altogether.
Two final questions. In a possible post-Roe world where lawmakers are looking for compromises to keep as many people happy as possible and they live in a state where surgical abortions will be outlawed, they say, look, okay, as a compromise, why don't we simply allow these drug-induced abortions? What would you say to such a lawmaker?
Well, yeah, the first thing you have to understand is that abortion, elective abortion, is not medical care. There's no such thing as an emergency elective abortion by definition. And there is no law that forbids a doctor from separating a mother and her fetus in order to save the mother's life. And sometimes we have to do that. We have to separate them. But that is not an elective abortion. So there is no reason to allow elective abortion under the guise that it's somehow medically necessary. It's never medically necessary, ever. So, and if you were looking at medical abortion is four times more risky than surgical abortion. It is more complicated, it's longer, it involves a greater risk of blood loss, a greater risk of infection. So there's absolutely no reason to allow for medical abortion at all. There's no medical reason to allow for it.
Finally, then, I asked before if you would anticipate getting more inquiries about this. Do you anticipate you and your membership seeing more patients on account of this?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the complication rate for, quote, spontaneous miscarriage will go up because these online access sites tell women to lie to the ER and say they're having a miscarriage and not tell the ER docs that they're actually having an RU486 abortion. So we will definitely see more hemorrhages. We will definitely be seeing more patients, treating them for complications. And it's going to be ugly. But that is all to say, we do need to outlaw abortion in this country because it's not medical care. It's an attempt at a surgical solution for a social problem, which is that some people don't want, they just don't want certain population groups around, and so they're pushing abortions in those population groups. And it's a horrible eugenic agenda behind the pro-abortion industry.
Dr. Donna Harrison is board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist and executive director for the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Learn more about their work at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Harrison, thank you.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa. He is author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for July, Faith That Sees Through Culture. Part two of our series with him on dualities in Scripture. Today, we'll talk about the Christian's identity.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century.
Deliver us.
the 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.